Today, I want to finish up something with you that I started talking to you about before I left. While I was in Durango, Colorado, I was sitting in the Durango Coffee Company, which was a really cool coffee shop downtown. The Lord really began to unfold to me what He wanted me to share with you starting next week. And I was scrambling for a piece of paper, trying to find something to write it down on. And so I was able to find something that already had some stuff on it, write that down. And so I'm really, really, really excited about what God's going to unfold to us. Not just next week, but even this coming Wednesday night. I really feel like the Lord said, I really want you to dive into my words. My words, Jesus said. My words. And so I'm going to start a series on Wednesday night called Red, the Words of Jesus. And we're really going to kind of center around Mark, but we're not going to stay there. But we're going to center in Mark and kind of dive out of that, see what Jesus had to say about us and about our life in Him. So if you have your Bible, take it out and turn it to the book of 1 John chapter 4. And I want to teach what I'm probably going to be my final teaching in the series that I was doing with you before I left called Knowing Jesus. And so far, this is what we've looked at. If you haven't been a part of it, then this is what we've gone over so far. We've looked at how important being a part of the corporate body of Christ is to knowing the Lord. You would not even know the Lord if it wasn't for other people. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, salvation's not a personal thing, because it is. But you wouldn't even know the Lord if it wasn't for the disciples of Christ. And them encountering the Lord, and them passing that message on to others, and then those passing that message on, and then those others dying so that you could get the Word of God in written form. We would not even know. I'm not glorifying other people, but I'm just saying something honestly. We wouldn't even know the Lord if it wasn't for other people. And the impact of corporate worship, worship together, worship in relationship, cannot be understated, because it is through our blessings and our gifts that we have, that we're able to impart one another revelation of the Lord and revelation of His heart, revelation of His power. But it's also through our mistakes and our acts of repentance and getting things right that the heart of God is shown in and through us. And so we must stick together, because it is in a corporate fashion that we know God, even in a greater measure than we could even in our own are all by ourselves. We also talked about how through relationship we know God by taking responsibility for those relationships. I mean, when we get together and we begin to live out this life in God together, and I'm talking about in marriage, I'm talking about in parenting, I'm talking about in church relationships, I'm talking about in every single area of our life, those are opportunities for you to come to know Jesus in a greater measure than you have ever known Him. You say, how, Pastor? Well, it would be good to go back and listen to the message, but God has given us specific responsibilities in our relationship with one another. And through our submission to His direction in our relationships with one another, we are changed to become more like Him. And when you become more like Him, you have to know Him better. It's a byproduct of that. So that was one of the teachings that we went through in knowing the Lord. And we studied how important the Word of God is to knowing God. Jesus, one of His names that they called Him was the Word of God. How are you going to know Jesus if you don't know the Word? It's impossible. You may know a creation that you call Jesus, a creation of your own mind, and that's... this is something that's happening in our society that is very dangerous right now. We have all of these people who are saying, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Well, I understand religious is a bad term, not just to people outside of the body of Christ, but people within the body of Christ. All right, we know that there's no value in serving religion. We understand that better than anyone else. But what a lot of people are saying when they label themselves that way is they're saying, I am spiritual. In other words, I recognize a need that I have for God, and I also recognize that there's something greater than me going on out here, but I don't want to be constricted. I don't want to be told what to do and what not to do. And so what they're doing is they're basically creating God. They may call him Jesus, but they're basically creating him, and they're picking and choosing and taking out parts of different religions and molding and making something that is more amenable to their life. They're not letting God change them to become more like him. They're wanting to change God so that it's easier and more palatable for them to accept it. And that's one of the things that we talked about. Now today I want to talk about fear. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. There is no fear in love. Now one of the ways that God is revealed to us by John in the book of 1 John, it says God is what? God is love. So when you look at God, one of the ways you could describe him by observing him and studying him and knowing him is to be able to describe there's love. It is entirely appropriate and right and a right description of him to say he is love. All right? So, there's no fear in love. So, in other words, you could almost say there's no fear in God. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect or complete and full-grown love, which God is complete, and full-grown love drives out fear. God drives out fear from our lives. Because if we're living in fear, fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So that the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love. Okay, so fear involves the fact that we don't believe God is for us. Fear involves the fact that we believe God will not fulfill his word in our lives. Fear comes when we doubt God's character. We look at ourselves and say, well, I'm an exception to God's truth for some reason, some form or fashion. And when we get to that place, then we're not perfected in love. We have not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. And then we love, or we have love within our lives. We know what love is only because he is love. And we know him. We wouldn't even know what love is if it wasn't for God. He introduced it. He modeled it. He imparted it. So, every single person in this room has one thing in common. We all know what it is like to fear. We all come from different backgrounds. We come from different social situations. We've been raised, a lot of us, most of us, by different parents. But we all have one thing that we can relate to. And when we come together and when we talk with one another, and that's that we can relate to the fact that we have all experienced fear. Now, from the very beginning, separation from God equated to the understanding and the revelation of fear. One of the plans that the enemy has for you is to get you to the place to where you are afraid of God or doubt God. That's his plan. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and he called out to Adam and he said, Adam, where are you? Normally, you're right here with me. Where are you? Normally, you're running to me. When you hear me enter the garden, normally, this is your time of joy and pleasure, and you're wanting to be here. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I hid myself because I was afraid. I was afraid of you. I was afraid of how you're going to respond. And that's where Satan's trying to take every single one of us. Those of you in this room today who are not walking with God, let me tell you something about your life. The plan that the enemy has for your life is to get you to the place to where you're afraid of God and you're experiencing that fear of God through anger or doubt or disillusionment or disappointment. Now, fear may not be the first thing you experience when you think of God. You may be feeling fear in the form of disappointment, disillusionment, anger. Anger at God. That's Satan's plan. His plan all along has been to get you to the place to where you are afraid of God and will not come to Him. Because when he understands when you come to him, your fear is going to be driven out. And you're going to become something different than what you are right now. The Bible says that in Christ you are more than a conqueror through him who what? Loves us. The reason that we are more than a conqueror, well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the bottom line reasons that you can be more than a conqueror is because you understand that God loves you. And when you understand that He loves you in the godly type of way, the godly type of love, then that comes with a lot of other peripheral understandings. He's not going to leave me. He's going to impart to me. He's got good for my life. He's going to stand with me. Even though I may go through hard times, he's not leaving. Ultimately, the end of this thing is going to be seen to be good because he's good. And he loves me. This isn't about me. This is about him. It's about his love. And so, therefore, his love never fails. So he will not fail in my situation if I will walk in his love. And if you have fear, you can't be more than a conqueror. You can't fulfill what God has called you to fulfill. And so therefore the enemy knows that you will never be a threat to him as long as you fear God. As long as you're afraid of him. Through being angry at him. Will he let me down? Or just whatever the instance may be. Disillusionment, disappointment, misunderstanding. You can never be what God's called you to be if you're living in fear. And you know, the Bible tells us, Jesus told us that fear is going to increase as the time goes along. Seriously. We are living in times of fear. And it's not going to get any better. People are killing each other. They're doing all kinds of terrible things to one another. They're hurting each other. They're rebelling. And all of that stuff, a lot of that stuff has at its root selfishness. And a lot of it has at its root fear. Because if you understand what fear is a component that enters into a life that is devoid of love. Say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says there is no fear where love exists. So, if you don't know or understand fear, if you don't know or understand love, it creates a vacuum within you. But that vacuum does not just exist with nothingness in it. That vacuum is filled with fear. Fear. Insecurities, doubts, worries. It leaves you with the desire. When you got fear, then you have control. When you have fear, then you have a need to establish yourself, to prove yourself. Fears cause so many things. And where God is absent, if you could say, there is no fear in love, and I said earlier, there is no fear in God, so where God exists and is in a space, fear doesn't have to be present. It shouldn't be present. Now, I'm not talking about respect. I respect the fact that if I'm walking along a ledge and there's 1,000 feet of nothingness below me, my understanding of the way the world's created causes me to have a knowledge, okay, that I need to respect that boundary. I don't have to be afraid of it, but I can respect it. You see what I'm saying? Yes, we need to have some understanding of things in our lives, some respect for things, but the Lord doesn't want us living in fear. When it talks about, you say, well, what about the fear of God? When it talks about the fear of God, that means we have an understanding of who God is and a deep held respect for that. Okay? That's what it means. It doesn't mean I'm going, that I'm like one of those foreign King Kong, Godzilla movies where you're running. That's not the type of fear it's talking about. That's talking about I have a respect and a knowledge of who God is. As a matter of fact, I have the same respect and knowledge that the demons have. The demons know who God is and have enough sense to tremble. But my respect and knowledge goes deeper in that I really know who He is and I'm not in rebellion to who He is. I'm saying, Lord, I embrace who You are. And I find my life in who You are. In Your love. Perfect love, everybody say perfect love, drives out fear. Now, how many of you in this room today belong to Jesus? You say, I'm His child. There's some things you need to know. One of them is found in the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. One of the things that you need to understand, if you belong to God, the enemy, let's talk about this for a second. The enemy isn't just walking around arbitrarily able to do anything in the world he wants to do to you as a child of God. I don't believe that he can really even walk around and arbitrarily do whatever he wants to do to someone who's being prayed for. Maybe they're not a child of God, but they're being prayed for by a saint. And the will of God's being prayed over them. Now, I can hold that up for, possible scrutiny. But I'm an example of that. Satan tried to kill me many times before I knew the Lord. I was stupid. And I was in agreement with his plan. And so Satan tried to kill me many times. Somebody was praying for me, and God saved my life in each and every instance. A lot of bad things had to happen to me. Police, I'm out using the restroom in a public place. Policeman pulls right up. I'm in his lights. That's called public indecency. Should go to jail. Didn't go to jail. Driving home one night, my daughter, who's sitting in the back, was with me. She was about 2 years old. Driving home about 3 a.m. one night, 6 sheets in the wind. Everybody understand what 3 sheets in the wind is? Multiply that by 2. Driving home just drunk as a skunk, got pulled over in a small town that was known for pulling people over and ticketing them. I'm there by myself. I've got my daughter in the car. I told the policeman, he came up to the car. I said, my daughter's asleep. He said, well, then come on out and stand between my car and your car. So I did, and I got out, and he said, where are you going? What are you doing? Have you had anything to drink? I said, oh, yeah. No. Well, I thought at that point in time it was stupid to even try to lie because, he could give me a test. And if he has to tell you say no and he has to test you, he's going to get really mad. You lied to me. There goes all your grace. So if for some reason I said yes. And so he goes back to here. He takes my license. He goes back to the car. It's night. He goes back to the car and he's sitting in the car facing me putting in my information. You understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, my 2-year-old daughter wakes up. She's in the truck. She wakes up. She grabs a beer can that's sitting in the car, and she begins to pound on the back of the window with it. Bam, 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 bam. I'm serious. This happened. In the full headlights of the police officer with him facing that direction. I said, I'm not only going to jail if there's a room under the jail. I will be under the jail, and who knows what's going to happen to my daughter. Stupid Parky. I wasn't trying to mess up, guys. I was just messed up. There's a difference between trying to mess up and being messed up. You understand? And there's a lot of people in here, you're not trying to mess up, you're just messed up. And so the police officer, here he comes. I'm thinking, here we go. He says, look, man. He goes, I think you're too drunk to drive. Duh. He said, but you know, I just called a police officer down in the town you're going to, and he told me he knows you. And he said, if I will let you go, he will wait on you at the edge of town. And if you don't show up in about 5-10 minutes, which is about how far, he said, he'll come looking for you. So I'm going to let you go under his supervision. I went down, drove into town. The police officer sitting right there at the city limit sign follows me home. When he sees me go in the house with my daughter, he pulls off and leaves. Had accidents, had wrecks. I got scars on my face from my stupidity, from being messed up. But you know what was wrong with me? I didn't know love. Heard of it. Heard about it. People talked about it. I saw smatterings of it in different places, but I didn't know love. But brothers and sisters, if you're a believer, you're in the love of God. You're not. It's not just surrounding you, it's in you. And the enemy, he can't just arbitrarily come along and try to take your life. Look at what the conversation between the Lord and Satan concerning Job. It says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? You know, God may be, he's proud of you today. If you love him, he's proud of you. He looks at, he didn't say you're perfect. He's not under some illusion that you're not who you are. But you know what? He looks at the enemy and says, that's my son. That's my son right there. He's powerful. That's my daughter. I love her. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? He wasn't challenging God. Who was he challenging? He's challenging Job. Have you not made a hedge around him? This is the point I'm trying to get to. A hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has, on every side, you have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has and he will surely curse you to your face. Satan couldn't just arbitrarily attack Job. He had to come and ask permission. And the Lord said to Satan, okay, you're playing a game and I don't like it, but let me tell you what. Faith is not real till it's tried and proven. All that he has is in your power. I would never hurt him, like you said. But he, okay, I'll release certain things into your hand to do to him. But let me tell you something. There's a line you will not cross. So who's in control of your life? Fear comes in when we think this is some kind of battle where Satan can arbitrarily come against you and do anything he wants to. Brothers and sisters, if that were true, you wouldn't be sitting here. Everything you had would be vaporized. You would be destroyed. He doesn't have that ability in your life. So why fear that? He's a dirty dog, but he's a dog on a leash. And you know what? You got to believe that God's all powerful. There's a lot of us that think this is some kind of battle between two equals and we're caught in the middle. Oh, Satan's got one arm and God's got the other and I'm the one getting pulled in two. Brothers, that's not the way it is at all. The battle between God and Satan, and there was one originally, didn't last very long. And really, to the enemy, this isn't about you. The only reason he comes against you is because of who loves you. You're not so important that the enemy has to go around flattening your tires and crashing your computers and doing all that other kind of stuff. He doesn't care about you, and that's shown in the way he acts with you. The hatred that he shows against you is because of his hatred and anger against God. It's not about me. since it's not about me, and it's between God and the enemy, then what I understand is one of those is way more powerful than the other. So this is a losing battle on the behalf of Satan. Now, I may be going through a period of time where my faith's being tested and proven, just like it was in the instance of Job. But when this is all over, and even through this, the most powerful one's going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed. And Satan is so stupid, he doesn't even understand that anything that he may even take from me, I genuinely really don't lose. Because if he takes it from me because of my faith in God, it's been sown, not stolen. Everybody say sown, not stolen. Sown, not stolen. And if it's sown in the kingdom, what happens? It comes back. It comes back. I don't know about y'all, but I'm about to dance. Okay. All right. Now, you also got to believe that all things are working together for your good, bad and good. Everything's working together for your good. Oh, this is going to destroy me. Fear, unbelief of God, doubt about who He is. All of a sudden, you've forgotten who God was, and that's why you said that. And I'm not getting on you because I've done it myself. What's the clock say? 24. Still got a few minutes. Okay? Perfect love, perfect understanding of who God is, and living in that causes me not to fear. Though 1,000 may fall at my left hand, 10,000 at my right, it shall not affect me. For God is with me. God is with me. You're a last day saint. You know what that means? You're going to have to know those things. Because this earth is rattling and rolling, and it's only going to rattle and roll some more. It's not just rattling and rolling because the enemy's having his way. It's rattling and rolling because God's rolling across it too. And He's revealing Himself. Weird things are happening. How many of you say weird things are happening? Weird deliverances that defy the laws of gravity and other things. Weird stuff is happening. You look at something and go, that's weird. How'd that not kill that guy? That's weird. How did that not destroy this person? God, that's the reason. And so you're going to have to know, if God is for me, who can be against me? Now, the Apostle Paul said that without denying all the crap that was going on in his life. There was a lot of bad things happening, and he didn't deny it. The Apostle Paul basically said, the fact that all this stuff is coming against me is proof that I'm standing in God. And he wasn't being a sadist. But when the Apostle, and I've written the Hidden Manna, and this is part of what it is for this next time in August. But the Apostle Paul didn't just validate his spiritual position with God by saying 10,000 people have been saved. Millions have been healed. Here's the Apostle Paul putting out his bio. Healer of millions. Raiser of the dead. Himself been stoned, walked, beaten 5 times by the Jews. Shipwrecked by his material. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, let me tell you all the persecutions I've gone through because of the reality of Christ in my life. That's what he said. He said, now, if the Lord wasn't with me, the enemy wouldn't be after me. So, you go look at that. You know, nowadays, Christian bios contain everything we... You know, all the people that we've gotten saved and the millions that we pastor and all this kind of stuff. But Paul said, let me tell you, I was beaten. I went without clothes. I floated in the night in the sea with jaws. My ship sunk. I was caught in a storm, and 276 other people with me caught in the storm to stop us from getting to Rome, to stand before Caesar and pronounce the gospel of Jesus. He wouldn't say anything about himself because he said, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. He said, but these other guys, they're promoting themselves on the basis of all their prosperity. He said, where is the proof that they're any threat to the enemy? All things are working together. And that's the guy who wrote that, who went through that. All right, so Pastor, I'm experiencing fear. What do I do? I'm going to give you three very simple things, and then we're going to finish. And I'm going to do this in 2 minutes. Number one, there's a supernatural aspect to this. Ask God to flood you with the love of Jesus. Ask Him to flood you. You got to sit there and say, Lord, I don't know you like I want to know you because there's fear in my life. Flood me with the love of Jesus. Let your perfect presence and love in my life drive out every fear. And then you just hold on in faith and believe that He'll do that. Believe that He wants to do it and will do it. Okay? Number two, get some people around you who will love you. Most of you are messed up because of people. You included. So don't come down too hard on them. Because your response to what they've done has not been stellar or godly. Okay? So get some people around you who will love you. All right? You need Jesus with skin on Him. You really do. And that you'll be surprised at how that'll heal you. You'll be really surprised. All of a sudden, one day, they'll just say something to you. They'll just do something, and you'll just feel a warm balm of Gilead just coming over you, like it's just been applied by the Spirit. And that was because God is using people to heal you. The body of Christ is a healing agent. Okay? And number three, recognize that Satan's the master of deception. There are some of you out here that don't just live in fear, you live in terror. I understand that because that's where I was. I was having panic, anxiety. I had over the top. I couldn't even hardly drive because it was so bad. But there was something in me that understood, if I give in to this, and fear comes against me and says, don't drive today, and I say, okay, I won't, then not only is the fear going to remain, it's going to get stronger. Yeah. Well, Pastor, what if I go out there and freak out? What if you do? God's there. He's going to still love you. If you're in the floorboard in convulsions because you're so afraid or in the fetal position, guess what? God's there, and He loves you. He said, I didn't go anywhere. What if I need a person that day? God told me one day, anytime you need somebody, I'll make sure they're there. They're in your orbit, ready to intercept you the minute you need them. I'll be sure they're there. Lord, this is really seems real, and I'm shaking, and my heart's beating, and adrenaline's pumping in my system. But there was something inside of me that understood. I know how a bully is. A bully's not satisfied with the territory he has. He wants to take it all. That's the heart of Satan. He's not going to be just satisfied with you staying in your house. The next thing he's going to do is have you hoarding or doing other things or all this other kind of stuff because fear wants to take over your life and consume you. And so you've got to come to the place you say, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to live my life no matter what. That means I would rather die out here in the street then live no life cowering at home. Now that in and of itself doesn't necessarily destroy the fear, but it sets up the conditions for God to come in and drive it out. Because that's your step of faith. You understand what I mean? That's your step of faith. And when you have faith, God will respond to it. How did I get so messed up in the first place? Don't worry about that. That's a question you don't even need to be asking. Because all that leads to is condemnation and guilt. All you have to do is be able to say, Lord, I'm opening my life to you. Okay? All right. I want to pray. If you struggle with fear in your life, terror or anything like that, as we pray, I want you to open your life to the revelation of Jesus, okay? And just say, Lord, I'm willing, even though I'm scared to death, I'm willing to allow you to invade my life, and I'm willing to be the kind of person who will die in faith rather than live in fear. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your deliverance. I want to thank you that in God there is no fear of punishment, abandonment, displeasure. There is no fear of being left. There is no fear of being dropped. There is no fear of failure. But perfect love and the understanding and acceptance of who you are and living in that drives all of those things out, and they are not motivations for why we choose to do what we do any longer. God, I thank you that you're delivering my brothers and sisters from fear. Now, if you've had fear in your life, I just want you to say, Lord, deliver me from it. Lord, I come into agreement with them right now that the Word of God says perfect love drives out every fear. Fear of not having enough money. Fear of not being able to make it. Fear of always being alone. Fear that God's plan's not going to come to pass. Whatever it may be, fear that they're not accepted. Flush them with your perfect love, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would show them the group of people or the person or two or three people or the group they need to get connected to get with Jesus with some skin on him. So that they can be healed through that as well. So that their wounds can be healed. So that the it's always this way belief can be changed to be. Sometimes that's true, but not always. And God, I just pray in Jesus' name, I bind the lies of the enemy, and I pray every time the enemy lies to them that they'll see it, it'll shine like a stoplight, and they'll know that that's him, and they'll do what God wants them to do, even if they're really scared that day. And they'll put themselves out there. And God, I thank you that you're going to meet them right where they are. And they are more than conquerors through him that loved them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said...